This is Stephen Strang, and welcome to the Strang Report podcast. Well, I've done something I've never done before. This is a podcast in three parts. It was my privilege to have Benny Hinn in the office. He and I have known each other since 1978. We go way, way back, and maybe sometimes when I'm a little more casual, I'll tell a few Benny Hinn stories. Maybe I ought to start, that'd be a little humorous, wouldn't it, to tell some stories about just different ministry friends I've had over the years. But, you know, this is a very serious podcast. It's about the anointing. It goes along with this new book, Mysteries of the Anointing, which I have the privilege of publishing next April of 2022. And I broke it into smaller segments so it's easier for you to listen to. And then at the end, I'll come back with a message. So stay tuned.
Welcome to the Strang Report with Steve Strang on the Charisma Podcast Network. This episode was produced to discuss and address issues within our nation and around the world from a Christian worldview.
The minute you and I were saved by the Holy Spirit, God touched our lives. And our hearts immediately connected with the Lord because we became one with Him in spirit. It says so. 1 Corinthians 6:17. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. When that oneness happened, immediately what happened? I became hungry for the Word. Hungry to know Him. Like a baby when that baby is born. Wants food. Secondly, everything in me knew He's alive. He rose from the dead. He died on the cross. He's my Savior. Who told me? I didn't have to read a book to find that. That's called faith. Living faith was imparted to me in a second without reading a book about faith. I didn't have to have anyone convince me. Nobody had to tell me Jesus is alive. I knew it. Number three, I wanted to love Him. I began to love Him, wanted to love Him more. So that anointing within manifests itself through my hunger, faith, and love for the Lord. These are the signs of life. Like a baby or any one of us, when we are hungry, it means we're healthy. What is the first thing you lose when you get sick? Appetite. Right? So hunger is the sign of life, the sign of health. Well, same thing in the spirit. Number two, that faith in us comes alive by the Holy Spirit. No different than a baby begins to know, this is mommy. Eventually they'll know, this is daddy, this is family. No, nobody has to tell the baby, this is your family. Number three, that baby starts loving mommy and daddy and family. There's a bonding, there's something happens between families, especially when a mom holds her little baby in her arm. Wow. In the spirit, it's the same thing. And it grows and grows as we walk with the Lord. And His reality takes over. Now, as I'm reading this, I'm thinking about scripture after scripture after scripture. The Bible says He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all you ask or think according to the power that resides in you. And you read over and over about the power in us, dunamis power, all that. That anointing, very few people talk about. That anointing is so amazing. Now, you can call it a different name, but it really is the power of God. It is God's power at work in your life, plain and simple. So as I begin looking at it, I began to look at Exodus, where Moses said, show me your glory to the Lord. And the Bible says something powerful in verse 29 of Exodus 34. It says, Moses wished not his face shone. The anointing within makes Jesus so real, you forget yourself. He wished not. He didn't pay attention to the fact his face was shining. He lost sight of himself. So that amazing power within us brings a reality of the Lord to us. It begins to cancel our own reality. That's the power of God. Imagine this. Just think for a second. How is it possible that Jesus, who walked the earth 2,000 years ago, is more real to us than the crowds that saw him? Think about this. They saw him, did not love him. We have never seen him, and we love him. What power is that? It's the power of God. The Holy Spirit has made Jesus more real to you and me than our skin. How? The power of God. Let me ask another question. And just think. If you lived 2,000 years ago, and by the way, that part is not in the book. We need to add it in. If you lived 2,000 years ago and you saw the Son of God and you touched the hem of his garment, you heard him preach, you saw him on the cross, and before you saw him on the cross, you were with him on the holy mountain, and you saw God's glory. You heard God's voice say, "This is my son." You saw Elijah, and you saw Moses. You saw all the miracles. You saw him raise Lazarus from the dead. Would that change your life? Now who? Just wait. Think. No. You say, why? It didn't change their life. The apostles saw him, heard him, walked with him, saw his miracles. And when he died, they said, we thought he was the Messiah. And here's the biggest shock of all, Steve. In Matthew, when he rose from the dead, it said some doubted if this is really him. How can you doubt when you see him alive? But think about Peter. Just Peter. On the Mount of Transfiguration, he saw the glory of God. He heard the voice of God. He saw Elijah. He saw Moses. And all he saw, he himself walked on the water. He saw Lazarus raised from the dead, and they had dinner with him. But when the test really came, he failed. He denied his Lord. And later, on the road to Emmaus, Cleopas, who was related to the Lord himself, Cleopas was the husband of the Lord's aunt. In the scripture, you can find it. And they said, well, we thought in the conversation, they said to the Lord himself, whom they could not recognize at the time, we thought he was the one. Well, how can you? Knock, knock. Here's the answer. The Holy Spirit wasn't on earth yet. Which means everything Jesus said, everything Jesus did would have been forgotten had the Holy Ghost not come. Had the Holy Spirit not come to earth, Christianity would not have lasted a week, maybe 2 weeks max, because they were questioning it. If the apostles questioned what Jesus said, if they said, well, we thought he was the one, what would have happened to our faith? There would be no faith. So it explains. It's not by might or by power, but by my spirit. Boy, everything Jesus did was might. Everything he did was power. It wouldn't have lasted had the Lord not sent the Holy Spirit. That power inside of you is so amazing because it brings the reality of Jesus in your being in a way that the crowds who saw him did not have. Think about today, 300 million under persecution, and many of them are getting killed for the faith and would not deny him. What power is that in them? that would say to these radicals, chop my head off, I will not deny the Lord. What power is that? It can't be mental. It's by the Holy Spirit. That's how strong our faith is. So when you talk about the power of God in you, I'll ask you a question. If somebody came to you with a gun to your head and said, deny Jesus or I'll shoot, what would you say? I would say, shoot. Why? Because everything in me knows. I don't have to read one book about it. Everything in me knows this Jesus is my life. So go ahead and blow my brain off. It's that inner knowing by the Holy Spirit. That's the anointing that I preached about, read about, never thought about. That this is that inner anointing. And that inner anointing, and we'll have to be probably careful how we explain that part, dear Debbie. The inner anointing triggers the Word of God in such a way that most Christians don't even know it exists. Can I talk about that just a little bit? God's Word has levels. In fact, rabbis said there are 7 levels to the Bible. 7 levels to the Bible in Judaism. And they say it takes 40 years to reach a depth where people enter into the Kabbalah, which is mysticism, because they don't see Jesus in there. That's the danger. But the depth of the Word is so incredible. I'm already in level 4. So what are you talking about? We'll probably never talk about this in the book. I think people won't even get that. Level 1 is what? Information, knowledge. Level 2 is what? God's plan for my life. Level 3 is what? Jesus. Shadows and types in the Old Testament. Where you see the Lord in the types, in the shadows. Like you think about Joseph. How many times can you read about Joseph? Or Isaac? Or other things in the Word? You begin to discover, do you know that we have a revelation of the crucifixion in Adam, in the Bible? When he went to sleep, that's the crucifixion. When God opened his side, that's what happened on the cross. Because out of Adam's side came what? His wife. Out of the Lord's side came what? The church. Quite simple. Or you look at Joseph. Everything about Joseph is Jesus. Every bit of it. Loved by his father, hated by his brothers, in a pit, the grave, in the prison, the underworld, comes out of prison, resurrection, sits on the throne with Pharaoh, ascension, receives a Gentile wife, the church. It's all there. Or the tabernacle, or the Feast of Israel. That's the third level. Fourth level is where you discover through the names, the Messiah. He said, what do you mean? Would you like me to show you a little bit? Are you really sure you can handle? Of course you can. If you look at the 10 names from Adam to Noah, it's the story of the cross. That kind of is mind-blowing. Because the names from Adam to Noah, if you translate them, here's what you come up with. Man was appointed, because that's what the name of Seth means, appointed. Adam, man, that's the meaning of the name Adam. Man, appointed, mortal, sorrow. But the blessed God shall come down, declaring his death will bring the despairing rest. These are revealed in the names of the sons of Adam. Because the name Noah means rest. Now people, you know, people will ask, well, who lived longest? Who was Methuselah? You know what Methuselah means? His death will bring in Hebrew. Now, we probably won't have all that in the book. But the thing is, that's a depth, people, that very few even bother to look at. Maybe nobody wants to. It's okay, but I do. Because it's depth. And the deeper you go, the more solid you become in the faith. But the Holy Spirit gives us that hunger by the anointing. Are you guys enjoying this? By the anointing, we have hunger. That hunger for the word triggers fellowship with God through the word. It's like Jean Guyon, who was used of God years ago in Europe, through reading the word of God, she would get into depth in fellowship with the Lord. It was so powerful when you read her books like Experiencing the Depth of Jesus Christ and so on, which I've read. It's an amazing book. It's happening to me now. As I'm reading the word, I don't even know how to describe this. I become connected to what I'm reading in a very deep way. I know it's happened to a whole lot of you. Come on. But the deeper you go, the more amazing the life of the Christian becomes. Very exciting, joyful, and so on. That's amazing that it happens. And that triggers worship. These are the engines of the Christian life, all by the anointing. The word, fellowship, worship. And you see it throughout the Bible. So that anointing is so amazing. The inner anointing is so amazing. As long as you walk with the Lord, His reality permeates your being and frankly keeps you holy. And then you begin to change. Transformation begins in your life. You begin to long for the coming of the Lord. You cry out, "Come, Lord Jesus," all that. The anointing of Acts 1:8 is what we're going to deal with probably a little more in the book, because that's the one people see and understand. And we need it. The world needs it. Because the anointing in me depends on my walk with God and my hunger for the Lord. The anointing on me depends on people's hunger for the gifts. For the gifts. They pull it right out of you. Even when you're tired, it pulls out of you because they demand it on you. They place a demand and you just give it. It's like a massive basket on your head. I always describe it. And you're walking around with this empty basket, and their needs for God begins to fill up that basket with the needs of the people. So now you become gifted with gifts that God wants to bless them with, whether it's faith or healings or deliverance or this or that. Think about this. What if that anointing in you is weak? That basket will crush you. You can't hold it up. So that anointing in me is like a pillar. I can carry anything. I can handle anything that God would give me for the people. But if that weakness, if that life of mine becomes weak in the Lord and becomes polluted by outside interference, that basket will crush me one day. I won't be able to carry it no more. So that basket that is so needed, that has pure, blessed gifts for the body of Christ, now, if the Lord walks away and my life becomes polluted, eventually the gifts will stop coming from heaven. Now, that's a very amazing thing I just said. You got to pay attention to what I'm going to say right now. If you look at Numbers 24, verse 1 says that Balaam did not use witchcraft with that prophecy. He didn't use enchantments. So in chapter 22 and 23, he was using enchantments prophesying. In chapter 24, he didn't use any, which means he was a mixture. He could go from one world to the next. He could go into the demonic and the Holy Ghost all at once. It's happening today in the prophetic. It's scary because much of what is prophecy now is a mixture. Maybe not all of it, but some of it. Maybe even more than some. And that began to trouble me when I began to see it, in our day, I mean. But that mixture happens when they begin walking away. When they begin, forgive me, becoming greedy for money and the Lord walks away. Here's what happens. What happens is that a minister all he's been doing all his life is preach. Now the Lord is no longer there. I've always said the Lord always announces his arrival. He never announces his departure. Remember Samson? Yeah. He wished not the Lord had gone. So that individual now has to begin doing things that are not biblically based. But because of the gift working, that gift no longer is of the Holy Spirit, because he has learned how to surrender to an invisible power. That's the scary part. Are you people getting that? Yeah, now please let me know how long I have so I don't keep talking. Well, a few more minutes. So it becomes a mixture because the gift is no longer led by the Holy Spirit. It's led by greed, or it's led by other things. And now what do? They sell it. They sell the anointing, because that anointing is still there flowing, even though the anointing is pure, the vessel is not pure. And now the mixture enters in him, because the gift is still working. My son Joshua is very witty and very, very, very smart. He watched one time late at night a healing evangelist selling holy water and handkerchiefs. And he got really offended. He said, "Dad, is this real?" I said, "Oh, yeah, it's real." "Come on, Dad. You know he's a phony, he's a charlatan." He went on. You know how kids are, they're so blunt, especially PKs. He said, "The guy's a da-da-da-da-da-da-da," and he went on. I said, "Don't say that." I said, "You're not allowed to even attack them." "Yeah, but Dad, he's..." I said, "The gift is still the gift, even if the vessel is not clean." Now, what happens is, and I explained this to my son, he didn't really accept it anyways, maybe not all of it. I said, "Yeah, there is an anointing on that piece of cloth. His motive is, I want money, but God still uses it to bless the soul who's hungry. That is a mixture. Many will come in that day saying, 'Lord, Lord, we've prophesied and done this. I don't know you.' Franklin Graham, I think, saved my life. Back years ago, after I wrote Good Morning Holy Spirit, and the book was selling everywhere, it was selling 50,000, I think, a week, Franklin called me. He said, "I want to see you." So I went up to North Carolina, sat with him in his office for hours, and he said, "I want to talk to you, and my dad wants me to tell you a few things." And he began talking about the dangers of the healing ministry. He said, "Do you notice?" Of course, after a long conversation, he said, "Do you notice that very few people with a healing gift have survived?" I said, "Yeah, you're right." And he went through the names. He said, "Only two are still around at the time." By this time, Ms. Schumann had gone. He said, "My father met Catherine, and he thought highly of her, and Oral, and so on." And he said, "Benny, I'm going to give you a piece of counsel. Don't focus on healings. Focus on souls." He said, "If you focus on souls, God will focus on you, and you'll have longevity." He said, "All those healing evangelists that never focus on the lost are not there no more. Something went wrong and they're gone." He said, "But every evangelist, no matter who they are, if they focus on winning the lost, God will keep them in the ministry." Boy, that was the best advice I ever got in my life. And that's when I, in my crusades, began focusing on people getting saved before I ever prayed for the sick. I would take every service, whether morning or evening, and I would focus on getting them saved first. And I would take at least half an hour, sometimes longer, to just get them into the kingdom, and then I'd pray for the sick. I think that's why I'm still here. But that all comes back to the anointing being pure. But when it becomes a mixture, nobody talks about souls anymore. They talk about money or an offer on TV or get my book or get my magazine or get this handkerchief or get this holy water, on and on. You all know that. So today we need, and I pray that God will use this book, we need to get back to the purity of the anointing for ministry. Because the anointing of Acts 1:8, which I haven't even had a chance to talk to you about yet, is going to be a major part of the book, because that anointing, I want to explain it, because it is necessary people understand the dangers in it. You know, God said to Saul through Samuel, he made a very powerful and very dangerous statement to him. Maybe Saul didn't get it at the time. When Samuel anoints Saul with a vial, which is a sign of judgment, by the way, not blessing, the difference is Samuel anoints David with a horn. He anoints Saul with a vial, which means the vial speaks of judgment. Basically, God was saying, you're dead already with that to Saul. And Saul didn't last, as you know. But Samuel says, and he says, listen, you're going to go to Tabor, you're going to see people come down, you're going to prophesy, all that. And then he says, and the Spirit of God will come on you, you'll turn into a different man. And then he says this, do as occasions serves you. That's the most dangerous thing he told them. Do as occasion serves you mean you're in charge. And it's true. Today, when God anoints a man, he puts him in charge. He can use that anointing. He can play with it. He can use it to hurt people's lives because he is responsible for it. I didn't know that years ago. You know what? They can entertain with it. They can use it for money. They can use it to deceive their widow with whatever, just to get her will by the gift. That's scary. Very, very scary. Because God puts them in charge. And what I learned is, he is in charge of the one in me, and I'm in charge of the one on me. So God doesn't trust easily with that anointing. That's why he gives it reluctantly. Think about what Samson did with it. Think about others, what they did with it in the Bible. The power of that anointing is incredible. But God trusts men with that anointing. And when they go too far in harming his people, he takes them out. One way or another, they're gone. He'll expose them, or they go home in some way. So it's a very serious hour we are living in with that. The fact that the anointing has been misunderstood. And I think, too, and I haven't mentioned this. This is the first time you sweet people hear it. I think I'm going to add some things to it I heard about Miss Kuhlman. I think God took her home just on time. Because had he not taken her home, it would not have been good. So I honor her. I honor her memory. But the last service she had, boy, that was tough. She was not the same Miss Kuhlman, that last service. And I heard things from her staff. You know, I've learned more about Miss Kuhlman from her staff, and especially Oral and Rex Humbert, who were really, really close to her. I never met Miss Kuhlman. I was about to meet her right before she passed. And when I went for the meeting, she was already in the hospital. And I think it was God ordained for me not to meet her. Later, I became involved with her foundation for 4 years, and I held meetings for them everywhere. And I got to know them very closely, Maggie Hartner especially, who was her like right-hand lady. And she told me a lot. And Ruth Fisher told me a lot, and Marion March told me a lot, especially Oral and Rex told me a lot about the way she ended her ministry. it's a waker-upper. It really makes you very, how shall I say, it trembles your heart to make sure you don't blow it at the end, you know. So I think we'll look at that. Maybe I actually came here today to kind of test the waters with Steve and Joy on that part. Should that be in the book, not in the book? I don't know. I'm just giving you a little maybe. But she was a mighty woman of God, mighty woman of God. But I think maybe the Lord will allow, maybe he won't. I know that Jamie Buckingham wrote Daughter of Destiny, and in it he shared some of these. But if God wants me to, I will. If God says no, I won't. But I really wanna finish my life helping the church, strengthening the church. That's the deepest desire of my soul, is God would use me in these last days differently than he did in the past, to just bring comfort, stability, and strength. And I'm deeply, deeply engaged in many ways in helping the church under persecution. That is today a burden on my soul. I've become friends with David Curry of Open Doors. What a sweet man he is, by the way. And what is going on with the church globally will break your heart. And so today we need to stand with our brothers and sisters worldwide who are, what witness, wow. They walked into the home of a pastor, these radicals, and killed him. He's a young pastor in one of those countries. He looks at his wife and child and said, "Don't ever hate." Begins to talk about the love of God with them. And the little boy, after they killed his dad, looked at them and said, "I forgive you for killing my dad today." What faith is that? What beauty is that? You know, we got to stand with these precious saints of God.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that. I know I certainly did, and so did my staff. There was such an anointing, no pun intended, because he was talking about the anointing. And God has done something very, very deep in the life of Benny Hinn the last few years, as he shared. And he gave me his permission to share this. We put it on Facebook Live. He put it on his social media, and I wanted to put it on the Strang Report. I'd encourage you to go to my website, stevestrangbooks.com, and see the books that I've written recently, including God and Cancel Culture. A little bit of my first podcast with Benny, we talked about some of that kind of stuff. Of course, I'm passionate to start a movement to get Christians and others to stand up to cancel culture, which I believe is a real problem in our culture. So forgive me for doing that little plug, but I'm doing everything I can to get out the word. And when I do a podcast, I like to remind people to go to stevestrangbooks.com. That's my name, Steve Strang, books with an S, .com, where you can get a signed copy of the book. I signed a couple hundred today. So we're getting a really good response to the book. And I know you'll want to have your own signed copy. By the way, Christmas is coming up, and they would make great Christmas presents. Thank you for listening to The Strang Report today on the Charisma Podcast Network. Share it with others. Go on iTunes and like us. Do all that kind of stuff. It helps us. And come back again tomorrow for another podcast.
Thank you for listening to The Strang Report with Steve Strang. To read more from Steve, visit his blog, The Strang Report, on charismamag.com. Again, it's The Strang Report on charismamag.com.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joy Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.